Hello, I'm Stephen Goodwin. It's Tuesday, September the 25th, and welcome to episode number 3 of The Beer Crate, the podcast for ale lovers the world over. Each week we'll be looking at the world of beer and brewing, investigating local, national and international breweries, and of course, tasting a wide selection of beers, ales and ciders. Lager boys need not apply. Coming up on today's show, we have news, the drinker's diary, we ask, what is a cask mark? Short history of the Fuller's Brewery, quick tastings, and our Try Before You Die section. So, let's get cracking. News. And the winners of the Time Out Eating and Drinking Awards were announced last week. Of primary interest to Beer Crate listeners will be the winners of the Best Bar and Best Gastropub. Well, the former was won by the Rake Bar, located in London Bridge, near Borough Market. After attending last year, I'm not surprised it won. By anyone's standards, it has a large range of different beers, including a lot of interesting continental brews. By London standards, it has a very large range. In the gastropub category, the Rosendahl, West Dulwich, came out on top. This is a new one on me, so I will be tempted to make a visit in the near future, but I will wait for a month or so while the trendies invade to boost their social status. InBev. The company behind Stella have been wrapped for misleading ads. They were using the phrase, a family dedicated to brewing for 6 centuries, implying that one single family was responsible. InBev, however, claimed it was the family of beers and that people would understand. I'm afraid I favour the ASA on this one and only have to say. And finally, free cider is being used to help promote responsible drinking. This is an interesting idea, and it might actually work based on the fact that a lot of students, nearly half, do not know the recommended daily alcohol limit and how that compares to the ABV of the beers they drink. What I hope, however, is this will be seen as an education exercise and not as the promoting of a brand. Drinker's Diary. There are just 3 new festivals to announce this week, and in honour of Oktoberfest that we announced last week, Huddersfield has decided it's such a good idea, they're having their own. The Huddersfield Oktoberfest Beer and Cider Festival is from Thursday, October the 4th to Sunday the 7th. This is at the Irish Centre in Huddersfield. Second up is the Solihull Canberra Beer Festival, which is in Solihull and the Royal British Legion. It's on Union Road. This takes place on just Friday, October the 5th and Saturday the 6th. And finally, for those that like very special beers, there is the Festival of Very Special Beers. This is held every year in Popperinge in Belgium, where local beers brewed on a small scale are presented. This is being held in the Palace Hotel over the last weekend of October, namely October the 27th and 28th. This should give you enough time to get your Eurostar tickets in. A cask mark is essentially a symbol of compliance that indicates the cask ales in a particular pub have been well kept, and the lines from the cellar to the tap are clean. You can spot these pubs by the plaque they often have outside and the certificates above the bar. Naturally, being a cask mark, this applies to cask ales and not lagers or bottled beers. The beers in question are tested for temperature, appearance, aroma and taste, and each is scored by official cask mark testers. Temperature is the only one that is purely quantitative. Anything outside the 10 to 14 degrees range is a fail, since cold ales lose most of their flavours below that. The appearance, aroma and taste are all qualitative and marked out of 20. According to their website, independent cask mark inspectors test more than 27,000 pints of ale every year, which is about 2,288 pints each month. That's about 100 for every working day. Now, this is a completely voluntary scheme, so just because a pub doesn't display a cask mark doesn't mean it's not good beer. They might have just elected to not pay the fees necessary to join the programme, and to provide the inspectors with free beer when they come. The pubs are re-inspected a couple of times a year, so there shouldn't be the chance of a pub falling below the standards that one would expect. There are currently 3,728 licensees holding accreditation, with 70 new pubs being added each month. If you want to find a local compliant pub, then Caskmark themselves do a number of guides. They're at www.caskmark.co.uk, We'll add a link to their site, but be warned, there's a lot of PDFs on there. And now, in our occasional series on the history of breweries, we look at Fuller's. Although there's been a brewery on the Fuller's site in Chiswick for over 350 years, it wasn't until 1829 when anyone called Fuller was involved. The Fuller in question was John Fuller, but he was more of a businessman than a brewer, so we had to wait again until 1845 for John's son, John Bird Fuller, to take over. He was joined by Henry Smith from the Romford Brewery and his brother-in-law, head brewer, John Turner. Thereby they formed Fuller, Smith and Turner, as it is still formally known today. So, what beers are Fuller's actually known for? Well, probably most famously London Pride, ESB, which is Extra Special Bitter, Chiswick Bitter, and Discovery. In fact, three of these, Pride, ESB and Chiswick, have all been named Champion Beer of Britain. They also have a Honey Beer, 1845, Jack Frost, Golden Pride, an IPA, Vintage Ale and London Porter. Discovery was added to the rota in 2005 and was the first all-year cask ale that they had added for 20 years. Speaking to some of the landlords in London, this has been selling particularly well for them the last couple of summers, as the traditional clientele have switched to Discovery. I agree, it's a good summery ale, but personally I'm still an ESB fan. In 2005 they bought Gales, which added HSB to the lineup. Additionally, Fuller's owns pubs. This makes all said pubs tide houses, and they currently have 362. This is split roughly half and half between managed and tenanted houses, located primarily in London and the South East, and they also own hotels as well. But that all said, what most people will be interested in is having a pint of Pride and a pint of ESB. Tastings. In this section, we give a brief yet discriminating summary of a number of different beers from around the world. All have been personally tasted and graded. Naturally, everyone has different tastes, and these are mine, so your mileage may vary. Old Lager from the Mutzig Brewery. Despite the name, it's actually a French beer, and it's a standard clean French lager with a very transient aftertaste. It's also the sort you drink in glasses, not pints. This one comes in at 6.9%, so it's stronger than the standard Mutzig, which is 4.5. But still, I give it a 7 out of 10. Desperados from the Fisher Brewery. This means desperate in Spanish and has been flavoured with tequila. This tries to give it a macho image to what is essentially a pleasant alco pop. It is a lager with a tang, although I'm not really sure if it's a proper tequila flavour or not, but it's quite agreeable in that sort of easy kind of way. Its name is an image, which does try to give a macho image to those wanting to drink shandy or lager and lime. Like tequila, it does have a sweetness there, which is inherited from the sugar and syrup and glucose, so diabetics should be aware. It's also something you need to drink with ice, because otherwise it can feel a bit syrupy. It's 5.9%. 7 out of 10. La Verge de Gouverny. This is a sweet cider from Gouverny in France. Gouverny is more famous for Monet than anything else. It does, however, have an orchard, and this orchard of Gouverny does produce some very good cider. This particular one is a golden colour, which is sweet and slightly syrupy. Again, I'd suggest serving this with ice, so it dilutes the syrup a little bit. It comes in at 5% and scores 8 out of 10. Duvel beer is from Holland, and I hope I'm pronouncing that right, and we're not confusing it with Duvel. Duvel is D-U-I-V-E-L. This is an 8% beer. It's strong, it's dark, and it does have a solid bitterness. However, the taste is a little bit hollow, so I can only score this a 5. It translates, by the way, as devil or diabolical. Try before you die. In this section of the show, we will cast a discerning eye over the best beers that this world has to offer. We shall mention its history, the brewery behind the beer, and why we feel this is a superior brew worthy of your attention. This week, Rauchbier Marzen. I'm hoping I've pronounced that right. It's a German word for smoke beer, Rauchbier, smoke beer. Marzen is the particular type. Now this comes in at 5.1, it is from the Hellertrum Brewery. Visually this is a brown beer with a smallish head and looks not too dissimilar to most other brown beers you're likely to find. However, being a smoked beer, the best parts come in the taste and the aroma. Now, the aromas you're going to get are going to be based on smoke, so you're looking at smoky bacon or smoked kippers, this kind of taste. Although it is a strong aroma, it's never overpowering, so you still have space left to actually taste the beer afterwards. Now, as far as the brewing process goes, it is done according to very old traditions. It's using gravity-fed oakwood casks, which in turn will give it a slight redness to it, and it's bottom fermented. You can learn more about the process from their website, to which we will link you in the show notes. Also on this site, as a service to drinkers, they've provided details of various shops and bars that stock their beer outside of Germany. This I find is a very thoughtful addition, as it can be quite difficult to get this type of beer in England. The last time I had this beer was at a beer festival, and I had to wait half an hour to get served. Now it is definitely worth that half an hour wait, but when you're waiting it doesn't feel like that. So the advice from this is if you're at a beer festival, get these ones in early. Now, as for the brewery, they do have three other beers on offer. They have a wheat beer, they have an Urbock, and a Lent beer. These last two being seasonals and may be quite difficult to come by. In each case, because Hellertrum is known for its smoked beer, they are all smoked to some degree. The wheat is a smoked wheat, and the Urbock is a smoked bock, and so on. I do have it on good authority that all three beers are very, very good, but I've yet to taste them, so cannot truly comment here. As it is, the original smoked beer, the Märzen, is good enough to last me a long time. Okay, that wraps it up for this week. To give us a tasting of your opinions, you can email us on thebeercrate@gmail.com. If you prefix the subject line with two colons, you can be sure to avoid the spam filters. Remember to enjoy everything from the Beer Crate safely and responsibly, so you can be back here with us next week. Until then, cheers. Has been released under the Creative Commons Attribution, No Commercial, No Derivatives version. See www.thebeercrate.com for details.